Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is KYMN 1080 on your AM dial for nearly 50 years. And of course, the 1 95.1 FM. Another day with sunshine, and that is good. Temperature in my car on the way into town was 4 degrees below, and I don't know what it is right here in town, but it's a cold one. Today is February 8th, and the year is 2018, and I have a guest here in studio with me. We're going to have a lot of fun, and first of all, I'll bid you a good morning there, and thank you, Robin Ness, for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate the invitation to be here.
Well, you know, yesterday I had John Hiscox on.
Ah, yes. Obviously
a good friend of yours.
Yeah.
And while we were chit-chatting, I said, hey, you know what? You should be my music director. And we laughed about that. And I said, no, I'm dead serious.
Nice.
I said, you got people that are musicians. They're always interesting people. Now, you've been in the studio before, correct?
Yes, with our band Chance Meetings.
Chance Meetings,
yeah.
And we played for a couple of hours and had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I didn't get to do the one-on-one interviews that I like to do and people enjoy hearing. And we talked about your entire life.
Sure.
And based by your looks, have you ever played Santa Claus?
No, but when I travel to Chicago, I'm often mistaken for that man.
I believe it. He has a beautiful gray hair and a large gray mustache. I mean, it's for real. And you look good. And he has a guitar in his hand. And I asked him to bring his guitar. And when we met in the green room just a few minutes ago, you mentioned that you're not a solo singer.
No, I'm not a solo act at all.
And John said the same thing.
Yeah,
but
no, that's right.
You must sit around and play the guitar and sing songs that you may have written or ones that you're rehearsing?
Occasionally, yeah.
But is it mostly harmony that you guys do?
You know, depending on the song, we sing lead parts. Sometimes
okay.
We sing harmonies.
Yeah, so you know how to sing.
Well, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, well, I bet it's a whole bunch. You're being so modest. By the way, Robin Ness is, Robin, that last name Ness is a very popular name here in Northfield, Minnesota. Is there any connection?
Not that I know of. There's probably not. I'm the only son of an only son. And I've been told by other Nesses that are Norwegians that sometimes when they would leave the old country to come over to America, they would often take the last name, adopt a last name, if you will, from a homestead or a farm or a fjord or, you know, an area that they came from, a township or some such thing. And so there's quite a few Nesses running around Minnesota that are Norwegians, but oftentimes we're not related at all.
Well, now, are you a Norwegian?
I am indeed. On my dad's side, also Swedish, German, and Danish on my mom's side.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All that part of the country. Have you ever been over there?
No, I have not. Our daughter has traveled over there a number of times, and she really, really likes it a lot over there. It's pretty nice.
And do you have ever have a desire to go check out a fjord?
Oh.
Or a Chevy? I'm sorry.
That was good. It'd be fun to go there someday. I don't have real burning desires necessarily, but it'd be fun to see.
Well, the format of the show is we learn all about yourself, and it's a lot of fun. And I know that most people have some things that they're proud of, but you just don't walk into a group and say, hey, do you know that I did this or I did that? And so in a conversation, you get a chance to talk about yourself without feeling conceited or self-centered, because I'm asking questions and you're just answering them. Sound good to you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, why don't you have a sip there, and then I'm going to say, well, we want to hear the guitar. Are we going to be able to take that microphone there and put it down by the guitar?
Yeah, if I can get it
or,
to stay.
Or you can switch mics and use that one and put the guitar on that one, whichever one you want while you're doing that. I'll say good morning from Dale Finger and the crew at the Quarterback Club, located on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in Northfield. Of course, you know I'm going to say they're serving breakfast until 10 o'clock this morning, and they do that every day, Monday through Saturday, from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., and boy, their waffles are great. Their pancakes are delicious. Their pork links are wonderful. Their pork patties are delicious. And, of course, you can get your eggs any way that you want them, and it's all done very quickly. And a lot of people have a busy Thursday and really don't want to go home and mess up the kitchen and cook. Why don't you think about getting a bucket of chicken and their coleslaw and french fries and bring that home? Or, if you want, you can call ahead, and they will be more than happy to have it ready for you when you get there. We're talking about the QB, the Quarterback Club, on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in Northfield. After all these years doing this show, ladies and gentlemen, I feel really happy because I have a fellow by the name of John Hiscox, who was my guest yesterday, and he has become my music director. And is he good or what? He already has a musician in studio for me and for you, and his name is Robin Ness, not related to the Nesses in Northfield. Robin, you look like you're ready to pick the guitar. Is that the proper strum or pick or
yeah,
play?
Yeah, sure, that's fine.
And sing a song, will you?
Okay.
All right. I got the mics here, and you just start whenever you want. It's 9-9 on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN.
I was wondering what your eyes must see when you look for who I am. They've seen so many, many me, more than many eyes could stand. And I could be anywhere tonight, underneath some desert sky. But I won't be tonight, I'll be here all right, safe in your warm lover's eyes. I wonder how it might have been had I never seen your face, had I never found my way again to those lover's eyes' embrace. And I could be with someone tonight. You could be with someone too. But I won't be tonight. We'll be here all right, safe in those warm lover's eyes. I tried hard to be some lonely traveler that I dreamed I'd be. Now that part of me has come to rest beside these eyes I see. I've been thinking of the change we see as I try to understand parts of you become like parts of me. That's a place my love began. And I could be anywhere tonight, underneath some desert sky. But I won't be tonight, I'll be here all right, safe in your warm lover's eyes. I won't be tonight, I'll be here all right, safe in your warm lover's eyes.
Well, I'd have to say you are a soloist. Uh-huh. That was a beautiful song. Robin Ness, my guest this morning, live and in color from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota. And Robin, what's the story behind that song?
That's a song that I was first exposed to down when I was going to college at ASU down in Tempe, Arizona. A guy by the name of Bob Meehan had a band, Bob Meehan Band out of Tucson. And I recall fairly vividly attending a show that they did on campus at ASU, and I just fell in love with that song.
What is the name of the song?
Lover's Eyes.
Lover's Eyes. Yeah. Okay, is that part of your program when you perform at the Cow or any other place?
No, it hasn't been.
That's your song.
Well, yeah, that's kind of one that I do.
Well, it's a beautiful song.
It is a pretty song.
And you do a solo very well, in my opinion.
Oh, thank you.
You were a little bit saying, I don't know if I want to do solos, but I'm glad that you did.
Thanks.
If the guitar gets uncomfortable of why we are conversing, you're certainly welcome to take it off.
Okay.
What kind of guitar is that, by the way?
That's a Taylor.
A Taylor?
Taylor guitar, yes.
Okay. Yesterday I had John in, and we talked about different guitars. And if I have a memory, there's Fenders and Martins and Gibsons, and he plays a Gretsch, and now there's Taylor. Now, what's the story behind Taylor?
Bob Taylor is the guy that, that started that company, and he's been making a lot of guitars for quite a few years now. The first ones he made out of scrap wood, and they actually sounded pretty decent. Now he makes high-end guitars generally.
Now, is it a particular model?
This is a 414 CE, which is a cutaway electric.
Yeah, that's electric?
Yeah, I can
plug it into an amplifier.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty nice. It's very, very pretty. It's beautiful.
Well, yeah, thank you.
How many strings are?
This is a six.
Yeah. And do you have other guitars? I'm sure you probably have a collection, maybe.
Most guitar players probably have more than one. They usually have a few favorites that they like to play on, depending on what's called for by the song. So, yeah, I've got some 12-string and 6-string.
Are you a multi-talented in regards to other stringed instruments, banjo, the fiddle, or anything?
I play banjitar a little bit, which is a guitar-looking instrument with 6 strings, and it's tuned like a guitar, so that's kind of nice that way.
But it's a banjo.
But it sounds like a banjo, basically.
Oh,
it has
cool.
a banjo tone. Play some bass also, so play a couple of different things.
When I think of banjos, I always think of them as toe tapping, just fun.
It is.
Can they use a banjo in a mellow song like you just got done singing?
Yeah, you could. You know, depends on the tonality of the song that you want it to have, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's find out all about you. Are you ready?
Sure.
Where were you born?
Born in Glencoe, Minnesota.
Glencoe?
Yeah.
The home of water.
The water?
Yeah, don't they have Glencoe water distribution?
They might. I don't know.
I think it's a...
Glenwood. You're thinking Glenwood.
Oh, never mind then. Sorry. Glencoe. Okay.
Glencoe, which is Highway 212 west of the Twin Cities. And my hometown was Hector, actually, but I was born at the hospital in Glencoe.
Hector. And why do I know about Hector? Is that the bachelor community?
No, that's Herman, Minnesota.
Okay.
Hector used to be called the most air-minded city in the United States. On a per capita basis, they had more airplane pilots on a per capita basis than supposedly any city in the U.S.
I would have pilots from the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport or a flying club?
Well,
or?
This would have been during the time of the, I think, 1930s, maybe into the 40s, probably pre-World War II era.
Okay.
They actually had little plaques and signs that made that statement. Of course, whether we know that that's true or not, who knows, but that was the claim they made. And the population of Hector, when I grew up, it was only about 1,240 people, but they had a lot of pilots. We have a nice airport there and still used a lot.
Okay. That 212, that's a dangerous highway, isn't it?
It can be. There's been a lot of fatalities and bad accidents on that road. There's a lot of farming, of course. Farming is the predominant business out there, and so there's a lot of farm trucks and farm equipment going up and down the roads out there.
My guest this morning is Robin Ness. Where are you living now, by the way?
Live here in town, in Northfield.
You do?
I do.
I probably know that, but didn't know I knew it.
Sure.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
what did your mom and dad do as you were growing up in Hector, Minnesota?
Well, my dad was a pork producer. He raised pigs and bought and sold. He was a feeder pig dealer, and we fed hogs out also. And he also was in the Christmas tree business with his cousin, and they had a Christmas tree lot in Bloomington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, how many siblings, if any?
I've got three older sisters.
And what are their names?
Well, the oldest sister was Barbara.
You said was?
Yeah, she passed away in an accident. She and her husband died in an accident back in 1985.
Ooh, that's hard to take, isn't
it? Yeah,
was it in Minnesota?
No, that was out in Reno, Nevada.
Okay. Yeah. So there's Barbara, the oldest. How much older than you?
She was, if I remember right, she was about 14 years older.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I was a tail ender.
Mom and Dad had a built-in babysitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then after Barbara?
Then it's Nancy.
And how much older is Nancy?
She is about 12 years older than I am.
Wow. And then after Nancy?
Then my sister Lola, and she is 6 years older than I.
Lola. I like that name.
Yeah.
Plus six. And then after Lola?
Myself.
And how did you get the name Robin?
I was named, I guess, through inspiration of baseball interest in my dad. Robin Roberts, Hall of Famer, was kind of one of his heroes.
What team did he play with?
You know, I'm thinking it was Cincinnati, if I recall.
Jeff Johnson would know. He's a baseball nut.
Yeah.
So, my goodness, you had all these older sisters and mom and dad. Were you then, picked on, or were you the baby boy that everybody got everything?
I wouldn't say that I got everything, but I got picked on a little bit, and I got dressed up and played with, They'd sit me up with the cats or the dog or whatever, and take me upstairs. And they had an old fur coat. I don't know what it was. We always said it was a bear, but it was a dark fur coat. And they would hide in the closet when Mom and Dad would be away for the evening. And then they'd turn out the lights, and they'd hold my hand, and we'd walk upstairs together, and then walk into the bedroom and into the closet. Oh, there was the bear.
That sounds like a kid song you could write about.
Yeah.
My goodness. Now, how many hogs did you have on your farm?
Well, of course, that was always variable.
Sure.
Because we'd buy them and sell them. Feeder pig dealers would buy pigs at about 40 pounds and resell them typically to other farmers that wanted to feed them out to market weight, which was about 220 to 240 pounds.
So they would go through three hands before slaughter.
Yeah, typically, yeah.
So were there hundreds, thousands, dozens?
Yeah, hundreds to thousands. I think my dad would average about 1,000 head a week.
So wow.
Yeah.
That's so, a lot of pork.
It was, yeah.
Did you have to help with the chores?
Oh, yeah.
So something just came to my mind. Is it really true you say slop the pigs?
Some people do. I think that's an old term.
Okay, but, well, I'm old, so.
It's okay. That's all right.
So now you feed them. Now, the operation that you grew up with back in the 60s and 70s, do you marvel at what they're doing today in regards to pork production?
Yeah, absolutely. It's totally different day and night. You know, we used to have regular customers that we would buy pigs from every week. And, you know, you would pick out the ones that were ready to go and give them a check for whatever the market prices were and go down the road and on to the next place. Well, biosecurity concerns now would totally prohibit doing any of that.
Yeah.
You would never be able to drive a livestock truck onto an operation nowadays.
Now, when you were a kid, did you ever go with your dad and down to Austin and sell hogs or up to South St. Paul?
Yeah. We would feed hogs out too ourselves, and then when they were ready to ship, then we would load them up on the truck and haul them to South St. Paul typically.
And when was the first time you got to drive the truck?
Oh, gosh. I was probably 15, and my dad put me behind the wheel and said, we're gonna teach you how to drive this thing. So went down the county road, and I had to learn it, grind a few pounds along the way as I was trying to get the shifting down right, you know.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was good.
Three on the floor, something like that?
Oh, yeah. I was four, actually, yeah.
Now, when you were growing up, Lola, of course, was the one that was closest to you because 6 years difference in age. Yeah. I would imagine that Barbara and Nancy were pretty much, particularly Barbara, out of the house by the time you became a young man and going to high school, et cetera.
Yeah. By the time I got into grade school, basically, kindergarten, first grade, they had pretty much graduated and moved on. So then it was just my sister Lola and I.
Robin Ness is my guest here this morning, and I just learned he's living here in Northfield. Perhaps I've performed at the Cow.
Yeah.
And maybe other places in town here?
Oh, yeah. We've performed down at Bridge Square for various events and... oh, gosh.
Are you...
Canadian church?
You've been paid to perform, I'm sure, so therefore you're a professional musician.
Mm-hmm.
However, do you have another profession that you spend time on now, in
now,
your lifetime?
I'm pretty much involved with playing music and doing photography, concert photography primarily.
Oh, that'll be interesting to talk about. Why don't we do another song? Do you have one picked out?
Okay, I can do that.
Okay, we'll do another song, then we'll take a break and chit-chat some more.
All right.
All right, I'll set it up for you. Ladies and gentlemen, live and in color from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota, our guest this morning is Northfielder Robin Ness, and here's his guitar and voice for our pleasure.
Those memories of you still haunt me. Every night when I lay down, I'll always love you, little darling, until the day they lay me down. In dreams of you, my body trembles. I wake up and call your name, but you're not there, and I'm so lonesome. Without your love, I'd go insane. Those memories of you still haunt me. Every night when I lay down, I'll always love you, little darling, until the day they lay me down. I close my eyes and you're there with me. Your kiss I feel, your face I see. It's not your lips now, that drive me crazy. It's just your haunts and memories. Those memories of you still haunt me every night when I lay down. I'll always love you, little darling, until the day they lay me down. Until the day they lay me down.
So the title of that song is?
Those Memories of You.
All right. That, I enjoyed that. And what type of song do you call that? Is that a country western song? Or
yeah, you know, that's kind of one of these that probably originally rode on the saddle of some bluegrass influence and
bluegrass.
Country folk, you know, yeah.
Did you know Dave Smith?
Dave Smith.
Yesterday, John brought his name up, and I knew this guy. Wait a minute, that's somebody else I'm thinking of. Never mind.
Okay.
It's 9:29 on the Wayne Eddy Affair, and I'm happy to say that in the studio, live and in color, I like to say, is Robin Ness from Northfield, and he's originally from Hector, Minnesota. We're going to find out about Grandma and Grandpa after we take a break. All right? We'll be back in just a moment on the Wayne Eddy Affair here on 1080 Radio. Of course, we are a friend that you can count on.
Let us help you maximize your earnings with a certificate of deposit from Community Resource Bank. Invest in a 60-month CD at 2% or a 48-month at 1.75 annual percentage yield, or choose a 54-month bump option at 1.70% APY. Get the best deposit rates around with Community Resource Bank in Northfield, Cannon Falls, and Roseville. Good bankers, good friends. $25,000 minimum deposit required. Penalty for early withdrawal may reduce earnings. Other rates and terms are available. Member FDIC.
I love Grandpa's new home. There's so much to do.
That's right. Millstream Commons helps improve the lives of seniors through all kinds of fun activities. Personalized care from a dedicated and well-trained staff, amazing creative meals prepared fresh every day and served in a social setting, live-to-be-healthy fitness classes, private apartments with all the amenities of home, and a place to continue your relationships with family and loved ones. Millstream Commons, your vibrant life continues here.
All right, name this tune.
Fly, Robin, Fly, right?
Yeah, got to get up tight on
that. Fly, Robin, Fly.
And who did it?
Fairport, no, not Fairport Convention, but was that right?
Silver
Convention.
Fly, Robin, Fly. Number two song in all of 1975, the year you graduated from Hector High School?
Yeah.
You must have been teased about this, huh?
Actually, not on this one. No.
Really?
I would get the Rockin' Robin from the Jackson 5 occasionally.
Oh, not the original wasn't by the Jackson 5.
No.
So, but Rockin' Robin, sitting in the treetop all day long, rocking in a donut and a singing song. Rockin' Robin, bip, that one. Well, the reason I played this first is because your name is Robin Ness, and Fly Robin Fly, I would assume that kids would walk by you in the hall and say, Fly Robin Fly. Tell me about your grandparents, okay? Ness is considered a Norwegian name, and you indicated that you were Norwegian, Swedish, German, and Danish, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
Okay, were you afforded the opportunity to grow up with grandma and grandpas on both sides?
I was very blessed that way. I had my grandmother on my dad's side of the family. My grandfather had passed back in 1951, so I never got to know him. My grandfather and grandmother on my mom's side were both living for quite a few years, so I got to know them pretty well too.
Were they farmers?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. They had been farmers, all of them.
Okay, so how many aunts and uncles did you have? I mean, evidently farming was in the blood of the Ness people.
Well, my dad was an only child.
Oh, okay.
So he helped my grandpa, you know, while he was growing up.
And my mom's side of the family, there were, let's see, she had, I think she had four other siblings besides my mom.
So, all right. Yeah. So you had aunts and uncles and cousins your age?
Yeah, yeah. On my mom's side, we had a fair number of cousins around my age. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of fun. Lots of fun times playing together at family gatherings and holidays and all those kinds of things. On my dad's side of the family, of course, there were no direct first cousins. So then the second cousins were, you know, good to play with, too.
Sure.
We had some of them that were our age.
Well, growing up with your sister, Barbara, Nancy, Lola, Christmas had to be kind of a fun time for you, being the youngest boy in that family. What traditions did your family have, mom and dad, and then maybe grandma and grandpa?
Yeah, well, of course, the meal was typically Swedish meatballs and lutefisk and lefse.
Do you like lutefisk?
You know, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say that I like it, but I will eat a meal or two of it each year. It's always kind of fun to do as a traditional family thing.
Yep, my wife is 100% Norwegian, and we do have lutefisk at least once a year.
Sure. Yeah, we enjoy going to some of the church dinners.
Yes, I'd like to go to the one out at Vang Church,
Vang.
I think is.
Yeah,
they do. And then I have a buddy that helps, and he's a guitar player, and he'll entertain during the feed up at, I'm going to forget
the name. Christiania?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
I love it when people help me. All I did was point. That's exactly the one over there by Elko.
Yeah, we've been to that one quite a number of times also. We enjoy that.
He kind of helps me out when it comes to getting some lutefisk for my wife.
He's a good source.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? I actually eat it, you know, before I, you know, tasted it. And but now, I'll take a second helping.
Yeah, well, as long as you make it swim in plenty of melted butter sauce and cream sauce, cover up the taste of that fish.
Yep, and she makes Norwegian tacos. She takes the lefse and wraps a lutefisk in the lefse and whatever else. But my guest this morning is Robin Ness. He's from Northfield, Minnesota, originally from Hector. He is an entertainer. What do you, I'll ask you, what band do you play with?
The band here in Northfield is called Chance Meetings.
Okay.
And that's Neil Rowley, John Hiscox, whom you know, of course, as your new musical director here.
That's
and,
great.
And Gail Mall, who also lives in town here.
Oh, good. I'm going to get a chance to... How did you come up with Chance Meeting?
Well, I think Neil tells the story best, but it originated in the group. Basically originated back about 10 years ago. The Northfield Arts Guild was having a variety show at the Northfield Arts Theater over there, the Guild Theater. And so they were looking for acts for this show. And so I think Neil volunteered and asked me to play and a couple other people. And then I think they asked him what the name of the group was and how long we had been together. And he said, well, about 20 minutes. And the name that came to his mind, I guess, was Chance Meetings.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I figured it was something like that.
Yeah.
When you were growing up in Hector, Minnesota, the most populated pilots in the nation in a community, did you get involved in activities in junior high, senior high?
Are you talking about in school?
High school, yeah.
Yeah.
Junior high.
Well, you know, extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
Was involved in some sports for a while, and then when I became a junior in high school, I decided to drop all my sports activities and just focus on music.
When's the first time you picked up a guitar?
My folks gave me a guitar for Christmas when I was in, sixth grade.
Oh, okay. And, you know, a person like me picked that up, and, you know, I cannot play the guitar, and I tried, but I got very impatient and frustrated.
Yeah.
What was it like for you?
Yeah, I went for quite a while before I really did anything very productive with it. I tried taking some lessons and learning from Alfred's Basic Guitar Method book, which was boring to me. I wanted to learn to play more popular music, you know, and learn chords and those kinds of things. So.
Did you have a band in high school?
Actually did, yeah.
A long-haired band?
I don't know that our hair was very long. My folks wouldn't allow me to grow my hair out, so I didn't have any long hair. So
well, you showed them.
Yeah, right.
He's got long hair. So what was that band that you put together in high school?
Well, that was called Moonship. And our slogan,
Starship, Moonship?
Yeah, Moonship. It was our slogan was making waves in rock.
All right.
Yeah, I was just down to Florida and connected with my guitar buddy that we met in high school and played in Moonship together and in various bands after that. And he had an old poster, an old original poster that he brought home.
Well, in Hector, the high school population was minimal. I mean, it was little, right?
Yeah, it was a small town. We were independent, of course, as most small town schools were back in those days. They've since consolidated, of course, but back then, yeah, we had a graduating class of 50 kids.
All right. So. Robin Ness is my guest. He now lives in Northfield, Minnesota, class of 1975. Have you had class reunions?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have to be the entertainment?
You know, I think they asked me to play with my band one of those reunions or two of them. I can't remember what it was, but yeah, maybe it was two of them.
When you were a kid and wanting to grow long hair, Mom and Dad wouldn't allow that. After all, you have to look nice and neat when you're a hog farmer.
Right.
Did you have, by the way, did you have a little entryway into the house that you had hang your clothes?
Yes. Yeah, the mudroom.
Yeah, yeah.
and my dad sometimes would get pretty dirty with his overalls, and so then he would hang them on a hook out in the garage. And then when my mom would do laundry, then she would, you know, take those clothes into the laundry room and wash them. Well, one time, unfortunately, she brought a mouse in. He was hitching a ride on my dad's overalls, and my sister Nancy and her husband Ron happened to be visiting, and this mouse made its way back to my sister Lola's bedroom, and it was kind of hilarious because my brother-in-law saw this mouse run at him, and he kind of jumped up off the floor, and he came down right on the mouse. So that was a lucky stroke.
You know, my wife just hates mice, and to me, I just look at them. You want to get rid of them, and you put a trap up or whatever. But, you know, they run along walls when they're running.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. It seems like most people are, you know, jumping up on a chair, you know, the old thing. And I'm thinking, well, it's just a mouse. Just a mouse. What's it going to do?
Right.
You don't want them in your house. You want to get rid of them, but they're not going to do anything.
I think. The common fear amongst most people is that they'll probably run up your leg.
Yeah.
That would be kind of creepy.
Our guest this morning, Robin Ness from Northfield. And Robin, tell me more about your Moonship band. Was it a rock and roll band?
Yeah, we were rock and roll. And what we would do back in those days, since we weren't old enough to get into bona fide bars and those kinds of places, we would rent halls. So we would rent armories, for example, in Olivia and various armories, Appleton out west, Buffalo Lake Hall, which was getting old and falling apart at that point. It was very old. But we would rent those halls and then advertise with posters that we were going to have a dance and play.
So Moonship did their own printing of posters,
yep,
and did their own marketing,
yep,
and did their own signing of a contract for the hall for the evening.
That's right.
And what were some of the marketing tactics that you used besides putting up signs in windows?
Primarily posters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you built
and word of mouth, too, of course. Word of mouth is always good.
And you built a name for yourself in that area.
Yeah.
Was it beneficial, monetarily speaking?
Yeah, we charged $2 a head to get in, and it went very well that way. And we split it up four ways. We were a four-piece band, and it was financially rewarding.
Did you have roadies?
No.
No.
Well, I should clarify that. We had some guys that like to be along and sit backstage behind us, and so they would help out, yeah.
And this is way before they have a big board in the auditorium or whatever, and one person sits there and does the spotlights and all that. I mean, it's a lot different nowadays.
Yes, yes it is.
But back then, you were using amplifiers that were tube-driven?
Typically, although solid state was really kind of state of the art at that time, so tubes have never gone out of style mm-hmm. in all reality, but solid state was pretty reliable as opposed to failing tubes occasionally, you know. So the particular amp that I was playing through at that time was a solid state.
My guest this morning, Robin Ness. Robin, did your sisters go to college?
Yes, my oldest sister Barbara went to South Dakota State University in Brookings. Second sister Nancy attended a beautician school down in, I think it was Albert Lea. And my sister Lola attended University of Wisconsin over in River Falls.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that means, did your mom and dad have college educations?
My dad attended business college in the Twin Cities.
Okay.
And my mom attended college also down at Mankato, and she was a teacher.
So
teacher.
There was no doubt that you were going to go to college.
That was the expectation. And when I told them after my first 2 years in college at ASU that I was going to stay out for a year and play music full time, they were a little doubtful that that was the right decision, but it worked out.
Where did you choose a school, or were you just automatically going to go to a school that everybody else went to?
Well, I chose ASU. Our family was kind of unique in a way. Back in 1951, I think it was, my grandfather on my dad's side had emphysema and asthma pretty bad, and doctor told him, go south, get out of this cold weather in the winter here, and go down to Arizona. So they went down there for the winter months, and during their stay that winter, my grandfather contracted pneumonia and passed away. But my grandma and my mom and dad decided, man, it's so nice down there, maybe we can do this again next year. So they started doing that as kind of a routine. At Christmas time, we'd pack up the family and haul our stuff down there, and then they'd get into Phoenix and put us in a motel, get a Sunday paper and see what was for rent, and then go look at potential places to live for several months.
Wow, that's a good deal.
Well, it was cool,
yeah.
And we got to go to different schools, you know, in the Phoenix area, the Valley, and I think I went to one school twice. Otherwise, we were always in a different school someplace, depending on where we lived.
Were you like a nomad? Did you enjoy that?
You know, there were good things and bad things about it. You know, as the new kid, you're either popular or you're picked on, typically.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
There's always a cadre of bullies, typically. So, yeah.
And when you went to Arizona State, what were you studying?
I was studying journalism.
Oh.
With an emphasis in advertising.
Okay. Yeah. And you made it to class?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, you never know down there. You can party.
It was a party school.
I always ask this question, and I just love the answer. And I'm going to take a break, and then you can give me the answer. Because some people have to think about it, but most people will tell you right off the top of your head. You mentioned that you did play the game of football your freshman and sophomore year. Did you do basketball or track or baseball?
Yeah, I did a little of basketball in junior high and football then until I was a junior in school. Yeah.
Okay. Here's my question. Everybody that plays a sport will never forget one play that they were involved in, whether it was on defense or offense or whatever. One guy talked about another fella intercepting a pass and going in, and he remembered that because he was supposed to be defending him. But you've got one play in your mind that you did that you'll never forget, you're kind of proud of, whether it be in grade school, junior high, or high school. We'll take this brief break, and we'll find out what that is with Robin Ness right after this important timeout.
Your vehicle's engine warning light could mean something as simple as a loose gas cap or something serious and potentially expensive if you don't address it right away. Have our professional technicians at Witt Brothers Service diagnose and fix the problem as part of your overall preventative maintenance program. It could save you from costly problems down the road. Stop by Witt Brothers Service at 701 Division Street in downtown Northfield for all of your automotive maintenance and repair needs. Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
The 19th annual Saints Night Out is Saturday, February the 10th. This year's theme is the Nifty 50s, so dress casual or in your favorite 50s outfit. The doors open up at 5 o'clock with dinner by the Hideaway. Silent and live auctions and a variety of games and raffles will follow. The admission is just $15. Tickets are available online. Visit the Facebook page at facebook.com/Saints Night Out for more information. Saints Night Out is brought to you in part by Einstein Remodeling.
All right, work that microphone there, will you please?
Yeah.
And Robin?
Love will keep us together. Think of me, baby.
Name that tune.
Love will keep us together. Exactly. Neil Sedaka wrote that.
Nope. Oh, he wrote it.
He wrote it. Captain and Tennille recorded it.
You're 100% correct.
You
like that song?
That was one of my favorite songs. It was the CD was actually a gift to me from a girl that I was dating at the time. It was a good song.
A cassette tape or CD?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was probably an 8-track now that I think of it.
Yeah. I think CDs came out about 1983.
Yeah, that was true. Well beyond that.
It's 10 minutes before 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. I'm having a visit with a gentleman by the name of Robin Ness. He lives right here in Northfield, Minnesota. He is a musician, and they played a lot of times in a lot of places in Northfield with their friends. Chance Meeting is the name of the band that they play with and others. And you are going to the University of Arizona, ASU. And, of course, that's where Larry Fitzgerald went, isn't it? Or maybe not. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I'm just he played for the Arizona Cardinals. But anyhow, I asked you in your great athletic life, what was it? What sport?
Oh, it would have been football, most likely. Okay. I played that into my junior year in school. But my most memorable stuff was probably warming the bench, actually. So I was fodder for the practices, getting
your butt kicked.
That's right.
And did you ever ask to get in the game?
No.
Did you get in the game?
Oh, I'd get into a game occasionally, but nothing memorable.
What position did you play?
Typically it was tackle.
Oh, okay. Well, you're a tall person, but not real heavy.
No.
So you're a gangly kid out there,
yep.
And
with ill-fitting pads and uniforms,
protecting the tailback or the quarterback, whatever.
Yeah,
fun time though, wasn't it?
Oh, it was fun. Yeah, I enjoyed music a lot more though when I made that decision. That was kind of an easy one to make.
Did you get involved in the high school music programs?
Yeah. I learned to play a cornet, which is similar to a trumpet, when I was in fifth grade. And played in concert band and marching band and stage band, which is kind of a jazz band, I guess you'd call it.
Still have your chops?
My lip is pretty shot. We had a kind of a reunion of our high school band and played in the parade for the town celebration known as Corn Chaff Days.
Corn Shaft?
Yeah, Corn Chaff.
What is that?
That's the fodder after you take the corn out of the field, basically. Yeah.
So that has been going on for years then.
We played the school fight song in the parade on a float, and it was pretty pathetic. Most of us had lost our jobs.
Have you ever, you've been around during Defeated Jesse James days.
Yes.
Have you ever said, boy, I'd like to play one of the nights or afternoons as a, you know, with a chance meeting?
Oh, well, yeah, it would be fun. It'd be fun. We haven't pursued that necessarily, but, yeah, it'd be fun. And we're not a, I wouldn't call us a dance band. You know, we're more of a sort of a coffee house, wine bar kind of a band, I'd say.
Okay. 7 before 11. No, no, 7 before 10 on the Wayne Eddy Affair. You're listening to KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota. We're broadcasting live from our studios in downtown Northfield, right on Division at 2nd, across the street from the city library. As a matter of fact, I had to park on that side of the street this morning. All the spaces have been taken up from here down to almost Bridge Square. So that's good.
Yeah.
Assuming that they're shoppers and people like that.
Right.
Okay, so you get out of high school and you go to Arizona, and did you have to dorm life, or did you get...
I lived in the dorm the first year there, and second year there I had an apartment with a roommate.
And what happened after your sophomore year?
Stayed out of school. My second year, I got a call from my guitar buddy that I'd played with in high school, and they had hooked up with this 16-year-old young lady who had recorded an album in Nashville and was sort of under the tutelage at that time of Porter Wagner.
Oh.
Country music guy.
Yeah.
And so he was curious whether I would want to play some music in more of a serious way when I got back. And so I said, yeah, I'll talk to you when I get back in June. So
back to Hector?
Yep.
Okay.
And so then I made the decision to stay out of school for a year, try it, do what we could do, and see where it would go.
So you were her backup band?
Yeah.
And did she ever achieve any point where your income would raise as she raises?
Well, you know, we did pretty well. We were booking very steadily, regularly, every week. And oftentimes it was a Tuesday through Saturday, sometimes all week if we were playing anniversary parties or birthday parties or various things on weekends as well. But a lot of ballrooms and a lot of supper clubs and those kinds of things.
Was that a good income?
At that time, you know, it was okay for the times, you know. It was okay. You know, we'd make... I don't know if we were getting about $160 a gig at that time.
Total?
Yeah.
And then split it up.
Yeah, we'd split it up.
She'd get the 60 and the rest of you would split the 100?
Well, if her books were accurate, I think they took a little extra cut.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but then...
She was the headliner.
Yeah, but then we would... we decided later on that we were going to go off on our own. Her mom wanted to put us under contracts and...
So did somebody put you under contract?
No.
Okay.
No, she had some issues with our drummer, and so we opted not to continue down that road, and we went off on our own.
Did you have a bus, or did you have a motorhome, or
no? We had
any luxury like that?
No, not really. No, it was all automobiles and a. Chevy Suburban.
Okay, so you had all your amplifiers and microphones and all that in musical equipment all stored in this, and then there was just you and a friend? Or all three?
We were a four-piece.
Four-piece, okay.
Yeah.
So, but you got a lot of stories about traveling.
There's a lot of stories.
Which one can we hear?
Yeah. probably one of the more fun experiences was... keeping the crowd warmed up for Olivia Newton-John.
Whoa, wow.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, well, that's a story. How did you get that gig?
We were living in Olivia at that time.
Olivia.
Olivia, Minnesota.
And we're talking about Olivia Newton-John.
That's correct.
Isn't this serendipitous?
It is, yeah. And, of course, they positioned it as, you know, it was the namesake for Olivia Newton's song, you know, John. It was actually named for a train engineer, brakeman. His wife, I think, was named Olivia, and that's how it became Olivia, I guess. But known as the corn capital of the U.S., lots of corn, you know, seed companies have been based in Olivia for many years. But anyway, we were booked to perform for the street dance at the Corn Capital Days celebration, their festival that they have in Olivia. And then we were going to also open, kind of keep the crowd warmed up for Olivia until she got there. And it was going to happen in a park, but then it was threatening to rain, and so they called us shortly beforehand and said, hey, can you guys set up in the school gymnasium instead? Yeah, that's no problem.
Acoustics are great in the gymnasium.
Yeah, so it was fun, and the place was packed. And so we played probably an hour or so, and then Olivia arrived. She flew into Wilmer and took a limo from Wilmer down to Olivia and changed clothes at the Sheep Shed, which was a motel and restaurant at that time. And then
there's a motel called the Sheep Shed?
Yeah.
That was the name?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what year would this have been, 1980?
This was summer of 78, if I recall correctly. It was the summer that Grease was released.
Wow.
And Olivia was pretty huge. Matter of fact, I think I went to see Grease in the theater in Alexandria the following weekend after we played this show. Yeah.
No, somebody had connections.
Yeah, and I've always been curious about that. The gentleman who was the head of the Chamber of Commerce in town somehow made connections, and she must have thought, or her management must have thought, that it was kind of a cool PR and publicity thing to do right before Grease was released, and so that's how it happened.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And the place was packed.
Now,
did you play with her, or
didn't
she
play
have
with
her own
her.
Band?
No, she didn't have a band. She didn't perform at all. This was just a public appearance that she made.
Oh.
And so they gave her the key to the city and, you know, all the local the local stuff that you do for personalities, dignitary type people when they come. And she was the marshal of the parade.
So she spent a day there.
She spent the day there, the afternoon, basically. Yeah. And went around and looked at the women's quilting exhibits and different things at the armory, and then rode horseback as the Grand Marshal in the parade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you get a handshake or a hug?
You know, I could have reached out, but I might have been slapped if I had done that, probably. But no, I'm joking.
You know how they hug nowadays. And, you know,
everybody. She was very, very cute.
Yeah?
Very cute.
Well, that's a big name for a little town.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you got to open for her.
Yeah, so to speak, yeah.
Yeah, you had to keep the crowd entertained till she came and said hello, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting story.
Yeah, and she crowned the new Corn Capital Queen, or whatever the title was, you know, bestowed onto a young lady there in town. And
heck of a deal.
A cool memory for her, too.
There was a couple that owned the radio station there, and they started becoming older as I was getting older, too. But I always remember when I drive through or by Olivia, I always remember this nice couple, mom and dad operation, owned the local radio station. And it was a pretty good operation. And I thought, that is really cool. And now Jeff and Terry are doing it.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
They
yeah,
run,
sure.
run the radio station here in Northfield.
Yeah,
it's 10 o'clock. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with everybody right now. The time now is 10:01:37. So we went by the news, but I was fortunate enough to ask him to hold on until I can get him on the air with the news. Then we'll come back, all right?
Sounds good.
All right, here we go on KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 AM for nearly 50 years, and the 1 95.1 FM.
Porter out. Budget uncertain. I'm John Trout. White House Staff Secretary Rob Porter will step down after claims of abuse by Porter. Correspondent Abby Phillips has Porter's statement.
Porter denies the abuse allegations from both of his ex-wives, but he resigned on Wednesday, saying in a statement, "These outrageous allegations are simply false. I will not further engage publicly with a coordinated smear campaign."
The Senate is expected to pass the budget bill and send it to the House for final approval before the midnight deadline. Despite a claim from Speaker Paul Ryan that the legislation will pass, many congressional members are not on board.
If the information we're getting is accurate, and it's always difficult with these foggy crystal balls, but if the information we're getting is accurate, this piece of legislation will push us over the $1 trillion deficit mark for this fiscal year.
Congressman Mo Brooks on WZRR Radio, the deal would boost defense spending, but does not resolve the plight of immigrant dreamers. Yesterday, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi staged an 8-hour speech in hopes of pressuring Republicans to allow a vote on protecting dreamers. Meanwhile, President Trump likes the bill in its present form.
The president has reversed course. Before, he was taunting Democrats, saying he welcomed a government shutdown, while overnight tweeting, saying that, yes, this would be important and good for the military, so he is signing off on this.
Suzanne Malveaux, the president addressed numerous topics this morning at the annual National Prayer Breakfast.
Today, the coalition to defeat ISIS has liberated almost 100% of the territory just recently held by these killers in Iraq and all throughout Syria.
The Labor Department reports the number of Americans filing for unemployment fell last week to a seasonally adjusted 221,000. U.S. jobless claims remain near a 45-year low. I'm John Trout.
Regular listeners, thank you, by the way, know why I use this, my second hour, as a theme song. And those of you that are new to KYMN 95.1 FM, the one, or 1080 AM, number one, thank you for listening. And number two, I'll explain why I use that some other time. But right now, we're going to get back to my guest here on KYMN. His name is Robin Ness, and he lives right here in Northfield, and he's an excellent guitar player and singer. And we've had two songs from him. We're going to get a couple more live from our studios. Born in Glencoe, raised in Hector, went to Arizona State, ASU rather, for 2 years, and then went off on his own, and actually entertained a crowd in Olivia, Minnesota, while they were waiting for Olivia Newton-John to arrive and be the grand marshal of their parade during their corn hash days or whatever they called it. And now, during the break, you started telling me about people and showing me photographs of people that you've met. And, you know, you're not going to walk up to somebody, or if you just had interest, introduce somebody, hey, you know that I met, you're not going to do that. But I can ask you and answer the question. Now, you have met a lot of people, which certainly enhanced your appreciation for music and for people, and for concerts and all of that. So let's talk about some of the people you had a chance to meet, either as audience or opener, or just jamming together.
Yeah. Probably the first hero, somewhat of a hero of mine that I met was Bill Graham, who used to own the Fillmore West and the Fillmore East in San Francisco and New York City, respectively. He was a concert promoter. Put a lot of great shows together, and the San Francisco music scene with the psychedelic movement, Flower Power, all that stuff in the 60s, he was very much a part of that in the middle of it, and would sign artists to create these psychedelic show posters for his shows out there. And that's an entire poster collection business unto itself. But
some of them go for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, yeah. But Bill was a cool guy. He was kind of the guy who, I guess, is basically credited with modern-day big-time concerts. And he'd put together a lot of them. And when I was a student at ASU, I was fortunate to be able to be on the scene as a spectator when they filmed A Star Is Born with Barbra Streisand and Kris Kristofferson there.
In Arizona?
At ASU, yeah.
Oh.
And Bill Graham, they contracted Bill Graham to put together and promote a big concert to be used as part of this film footage.
I should alert the audience, this is not Billy Graham, the evangelist. It's Bill Graham.
It's Bill Graham, that's right. And so, yeah, the headliner for the concert was Peter Frampton.
Frampton?
Yeah.
Eric's?
Peter Frampton.
Okay.
And Carlos Santana.
Ooh.
Ronnie Montrose, Graham Central Station. That was Larry Graham, who used to play bass can't think of his name now. My mind went blank.
Well, hey, anyway. I do that all the time, unfortunately.
great concert, but then interspersed between the musical acts, they were doing filming that was used in the movie itself, and they would give us directions from on stage how to react to certain. There was a scene where, supposedly the theory anyway was Kris Kristofferson rode a motorcycle off the front of the stage and down into the crowd, and so everybody was supposed to react and gasp and look down to the right side of the stage,
Did you mug for the camera? Yeah, I would see that movie.
Me and 85,000 other people, yeah.
I've seen movies and television shows where, they're out on the sidewalk and you're supposed to just be walking, and they'll look at the camera for just a tenth of a second.
Yeah.
Now, did you see yourself in the film?
I didn't see myself in the film, but I saw myself in People magazine. They had an article about Barbara and her husband at the time, John Peters, who was co-producer of the movie. And they had a shot that was taken on stage from behind Barbara overlooking the crowd in the stadium.
Is the movie crowd.
Yeah, this was the concert
crowd
that was used in the movie, yeah.
So are you one of the faces in the crowd?
You wouldn't know it if you saw it.
But you've got a copy.
But I know where it is, yeah.
Yeah, you can pull that out and say, hey.
That was me, right?
Yeah.
Right there, because I knew I could spot myself because a guy wrapped his white T-shirt around his head that was seated next to me. We were out on the ground on the infield. And
Did you have your the long hair?
I was starting to grow it out a bit then, yeah.
The beard?
Probably not so
okay.
much.
Okay. So a lot of excitement going on in your life at that time. Did you get involved with a mate? You're 21, 22 years old. Did you have a wife or anything like that?
Not at that point yet. I got married at 23 to my high school sweetheart.
Oh, really?
So I took her to the seventh grade dance, if I remember right.
Was she a homecoming queen?
No. No, she wasn't.
Okay.
But she was my homecoming queen.
What is her name?
Becky.
And Becky knows my daughter.
Indeed.
Okay. And the reason she knows my daughter, Angel?
She had care from Angel when she was living at Three Links. She lived at Three Links for a year, recovering from a brain aneurysm and strokes.
How's she doing today?
pretty well. Yeah, she has some deficits yet from all that, but we're fortunate to have her with us still.
I know when my my daughter Angel worked with, I won't mention names, but I have many people have said she was really an asset in the recovery process.
Absolutely, yeah. She was wonderful, and Becky sends greetings to Angel.
Well, I'm going to be sure to tell her. She'll be tickled. Do you have children?
We have three lovely daughters.
And the oldest is?
Alyssa.
And Alyssa would be how old?
She is 30. She just turned 30 in October.
Okay, then after Alyssa?
Bethany.
Bethany?
Yep.
Do you have a nickname for her?
No, should I?
Well, I know a Bethany, and I think we called her Beth.
Yeah, well, I guess we call her Beth, yeah.
Okay. That's, and how old is Bethany?
Bethany will be, I think, 29 in this month, later this month.
Back-to-back kids?
Yeah, 16. Yeah. I think they were 16 months apart.
And after Bethany?
Our youngest is Lorena.
Well, that's a pretty name.
It is a pretty name.
Lorena.
Lorena.
My mother's name was Lorraine.
My mom's middle name was Lorraine.
Well, for gosh sakes. I like that. You can tell old people are sometimes by names, you know. And Lorraine is not a popular name nowadays, but Lorena.
Lorena,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, I like that. And she's how old?
She is 25 or 26.
Okay, she's the baby.
She is the baby. She is the one that's married also.
Oh, you have grandchildren?
Don't have any grandchildren. We have grandkitties.
You look in grandkitties.
Yeah, grandkitties.
What are grandkitties?
They have 4 feet and a tail and 2 ears on their top of their head.
Well, why would you say that, grandkitties?
Because they belong to our daughters.
Oh, okay. Okay. Are you a cat person?
I'm a cat person and a dog person. My playmates pretty much when I was growing up were cats and dogs a lot of the time.
What dog do you remember most?
Oh, gee. Ginger and Tuffy and Tippy.
I had a dog named Tippy.
Yeah.
What kind of dogs were they?
Tippy was a Cocker Spaniel and actually belonged to my oldest sister, Barb. She got him when she was about 5 years old as a gift. And then Ginger was just kind of a mutt, and we had a variety of Tippies. We had a long line of, Tuffies. Tuffies. We had several dogs named Tuffy.
Tuffy.
They were good in the pig business.
So your first bicycle was a Tuffy?
My first bicycle was actually my sister's.
Ah.
I learned to ride on her bike.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm a cat person. I love dogs.
Yeah.
And I don't have the discipline to take care of them the way they should be taken care of. You know, walking. I live in a neighborhood that's kind of isolated, and a lot of people have dogs, and they're out walking them, and they wear their little plastic glove, or they carry their little dustpan and pick up poop. I mean,
yeah.
I couldn't imagine that as a kid growing up, that I would pick up poop, you know?
Yeah.
One time, the first house I ever owned in Northfield, over on 6th Street, the end of 6th Street, right by the swimming pool,
and
it was a football complex then, and I bought the house like in February, and when spring came along, we knew that they had dogs, a lot of dogs. I could not believe the crap all over the backyard. So that's why, I have to pass on a dog. But cats, I don't have any now, but I had one that died at 19.
Oh, wow.
And it was my cat.
Nice long life.
And then the other one died at 16. And nursed her to health after she break her legs and stuff.
Oh.
Here we are talking about cats and dogs, and pigs. We even mentioned that. So you had this wonderful experience with Olivia Newton-John. You had the wonderful experience of being part of the crowd that was cheering on Barbara Streisand in the movie Born.
A Star is Born.
A Star is Born.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you've had a chance to, by the way, if you just tuned in, Robin Ness is my guest this morning. He is an accomplished musician and also a resident of Northfield, Minnesota, and we're going to find out how Robin ended up in Northfield as we move along. I like to do things chronologically and go back, you know, so you can tickle your memory and smile and all that. So you decided then to join this group in college after your sophomore year, and you started doing your thing, going to both the West Coast and the East Coast?
No, we were primarily centrally located here in Minnesota.
Okay.
We were big and, you know, we were playing all the time. And then when we went off on our own, we were still playing all the time, pretty much.
Was it Moonship or what? Did you know at that point,
Carlotta Marie and the Country Movers, that was a country band that we were in. We were backing her up.
Okay.
And we got to take a trip to Nashville and meet some very accomplished studio musicians. Jimmy Covard being one of the cool ones.
Now, I took a look at your phone bank of some pictures of some prominent individuals. What's the story behind that? Like, you had the blues singer.
Muddy Waters.
Muddy Waters. Did you meet him?
Met him. There used to be a rock and roll club down in Tempe when I was a student there called Dooley's. And it was a large club. And I got to meet Ray Manzarek down there. He was the keyboardist for The Doors.
Ooh.
But he was coming through with his band called Night City. His bass player was Nigel Harrison, who went on to play bass for Blondie.
Okay. And, I like Blondie. Call me.
Yeah. Yeah. He co-wrote. Actually, One Way or Another.
Okay.
With Debbie Harry. But anyway, yeah, had a lot of fun shooting various shows there. Elvin Bishop and Jean-Luc Ponty. And
Do you write music? Or,
I've dabbled at it.
I mean, that's where the money is, right? If it becomes popular.
Publishing would be where the money's at. But.
I know that, I think Colonel Parker, any song written for Elvis, he was a co-author on that, so he'd get half the publishing money.
Yeah.
I think that is, what surprised me, though, is the Beatles. And it was always John Lennon and Paul McCartney. Not always, but mostly. And I often wondered why they didn't incorporate Ringo and Harrison.
Well, they I think unofficially or officially, I don't know, they tried to allow George an occasional song, you know, but they didn't hold his songwriting ability very highly, and so he was always sort of relegated to the back of the bus that mm-hmm. way.
You were just a grade schooler when the Beatles hit the scene, and were you fascinated by them right on at the very beginning?
I was. It's kind of some interesting, vivid memories. That being one of them, when they first came to the United States, of course, they appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. Now, we didn't have a TV on the farm.
Oh.
Okay, so I grew up pretty much without a TV, except my grandparents had TVs. My mom's aunt, who lived in town, had a TV. And when we would spend winters in Phoenix, my dad would typically rent a TV set to watch while we were there. And fortunately for me, that was during the winter when they were on Sullivan. I think it was in February. Can't remember for sure, but I think that's when it was. And they had this goofy way of promoting it. They had these, if you remember, these rubbery spiders and June bugs and weird insects, and you could hang them on strings or whatever, and their legs and feet would jiggle.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were using that to promote the Beatles. You know, the Beatles are coming. And that was, it was just kind of a big tease. So you kind of
on the TV?
Yeah. And you didn't really know what to expect.
Yeah. Well, the name Beatles was stupid.
Well, it was interesting. Yeah.
And then, of course, their hair was really long, you know. It's really funny.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, I remember that pretty vividly. And the Rolling Stones, when they first came and were on Sullivan, I got to see that.
Your favorite song by the Stones?
Oh, man. Some Girls.
Okay, I knew you wouldn't pick a really popular one, because musicians go deeper into their thought process about what they like and hear, and et cetera. And I'm just the vanilla guy, and that is, I just think Satisfaction is their best song.
Yeah, well, that's a
Amen.
Classic. That's a classic.
I love it. How about the Beatles? Oh, my God, there's so many.
There's so many.
You know, what really was interesting is the Beatles actually made... can't remember the name of the company, Muzak or whatever it was, and it was elevator music. I mean, the music that they weren't singing, it wasn't the Beatles, it was just an orchestral of I Want to Hold Your Hand, you know, done in a mellow way or something. Think of the money. Think of the money that they made when those stores and elevators and hotels.
Hopefully they got something from that.
I hope so.
Nowadays, you know, I attended a recent concert by David Crosby, from Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yeah, you look like him.
Anyway, he made a point to tell the audience that, you know, support musicians, buy their CDs and whatever. The downloads, they don't get hardly any money for. Spotify and Pandora and all these things. And so they're on the road all the time because they got to make a dime.
Yeah.
And so he was encouraging people to buy the CDs if he could. So I bought his most recent two CDs. He said if it were not, of course, he's had a lot of health problems and legal problems.
What were his legal problems?
Oh, he had a gun. He had a handgun and was busted for that and some drugs. And he had to get cleaned up. He was using a lot of drugs at the time. And anyway, so he spent some time in prison, actually, and had his hair cut pretty short. Didn't look like himself. But he made an interesting point at one point in his show, and that was, if not for the generosity of friends, he wouldn't have been able to record his most recent two CDs, because they... you know, donated time in their studios for him to come in and record.
Do you ever record at Craig Wozniak's?
I haven't.
Do you know Craig?
You know, I think I've met him. I can't say that I know him.
He's very accomplished.
His son, Corey Wozniak, does production work and engineering work for Kebmo, among others, I'm sure.
And his daughter is a marvelous singer. Mm. It's 25 minutes after 10 o'clock. You got another song in you after I take a break?
Oh, you want to do a Beatles one?
Yeah, I'd love that. Let me take a break and we'll see what it's going to be.
All right.
You're listening to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN 1080 AM radio and 95.1 FM. We are the one. Coming up next, my guest, Robin Ness, will be performing. Stand by.
The 19th annual Saints Night Out is Saturday, February the 10th. This year's theme is the Nifty 50s, so dress casual or in your favorite 50s outfit. The doors open up at 5 o'clock with dinner by the Hideaway. Silent and live auctions and a variety of games and raffles will follow. The admission is just $15. Tickets are available online. Visit the Facebook page at facebook.com/Saints Night Out for more information. Saints Night Out is brought to you in part by Benjamin Franklin Plumbing.
It's the Troll Hug and Troll coming to you live from Dresser, Wisconsin, just a few miles south of St. Croix Falls. Have you ever said, I'd love to ski or snowboard, but I don't know how? Come to Troll Huggin'. We have lessons for humans of all ages. Ski and snowboard classes can even be for free. See our website for all details. Come and enjoy the best fun you'll have all winter. And go troll!
Learn to ski or snowboard at Troll Huggin'. Classes for all ages and skill levels are available. Visit online at trollhuggin.com for details.
That you can name that right now.
Glen Campbell.
And the name?
Walking these streets so long. Rhinestone Cowboy.
Yeah. All right, you got it. Another top 10 tune from the year my guest graduated from Hector High School in 1975. This was number 6 for the year 1975.
Where hustle's the name of the game.
I like this song.
Yeah, it's a classic too.
We were talking about a lot of things, but earlier you mentioned that you have met a lot of individuals in the industry throughout your travels and playing, and you even have had the opportunity to, as a kid, go over to your grandma's or your aunt's and watch the Beatles perform on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1964. So you were just a tiny little boy.
Yeah.
But you were interested in that.
Yeah.
You're excited about it.
Absolutely.
Did you get a back seat or front seat? I suppose you get to sit on the floor.
I got on the floor.
Yeah? Did they serve popcorn?
No.
All those screaming ladies. Do you ever, when you do your music, and it's, you're more of a blues band and a hootenanny or, you know, you go ahead and you describe it.
You're talking about chance meetings now. Yeah. Here in town. We have a kind of a slogan. We call the slogan,
you name it, we'll play it.
Yeah, harmonious purveyors of blues, ballads, country, and vintage pop.
Do you ever do anything? We're talking about the Beatles. Have you ever done any Beatle music?
Sure.
Because they have ballads and they have rock and roll.
They covered the bases.
Can you do one?
I'll do one.
Okay, I'll sit back and see if I know it. If I'm anticipating I'm going to never have heard of this song, like Blackbird, you know, or something like that. All right.
I once had a girl, or should I say, she once had me. She showed me her room. Isn't it good, Norwegian wood? She asked me to stay and she told me to sit anywhere. So I looked around and I noticed there wasn't a chair. I sat on a rug, biding my time, drinking her wine. We talked until 2, and then she said, it's time for bed. She told me she worked in the morning and started to laugh. I told her I didn't and crawled off to sleep in the bath. And when I awoke, I was alone. This bird had flown. So I lit a fire. Isn't it good? Norwegian wood.
Apropos for our community, Norwegian wood. You know, that sounds so much like Blackbird, don't you think?
I don't know. It's kind of different.
Yeah, but it's that slow ballad start. Da, 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 da,
yeah,
da, da,
oh, beautiful music that they did.
10:30 on the Wayne Eddy Affair from your radio station here in Northfield, Minnesota. The home of cows, colleges, and contentment. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you're listening right now because here's what KYMN Radio is doing for you.
This Valentine's Day, thrill your special someone with a gift from Russell Stover Chocolates. They specialize in fresh strawberries, hand-dipped in luscious chocolate, and packaged in beautiful red heart boxes. Russell Stover chocolate-covered strawberries are the most romantic Valentine's gift you can give. Russell Stover is located in Owatonna next to Cabela's, just north of Northwest 26th Street and I-35. They'll have extended hours through Valentine's Day, so stop by. She'll be so glad you did.
We're back on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on. Working the microphone nice and close, here is our guest again this morning, Robin Ness from Northfield. Name this tune.
Bee Gees, Jive Talkin'.
You like the Bee Gees?
Bee Gees were good.
I like them. Yep. I like them. Did you like Saturday Night? Whatever.
Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah.
I was not much into the disco scene. I wasn't a big fan of the disco scene, but some of the music is pretty good. It's memorable, certainly.
So we're back live and in color. I like to say, as we gaze out the window, we are on the corner of Division at 2nd Street on the first level. We look out our picture windows and see plenty of sunshine, and we're enjoying ourselves. Sometimes people will listen back to my interviews, particularly the family, and they like to know, I wonder when that was recorded. This is February 8th, and the year is 2018, and we're doing this live from the studios of KYMN. And my guest is Robin Ness, now of Northfield, formerly of Hector, and he is the brother of his older sister, Barbara, 14 years older, and unfortunately, Barbara was killed in a car accident?
Actually, they passed away in a plane crash.
A plane crash?
Yeah.
A big plane, little plane?
It was about 79 people.
Was that in Iowa?
No, it was in Reno, Nevada. One survivor, 18-year-old boy, survived.
Was it a pond hopper or whatever they say?
No, like, it was a prop plane.
What year was that?
That was 1985.
1985?
Yeah, Super Bowl weekend of 1985.
Okay. Oh, and she's so much older than you. Did she have a family?
Yeah, they had two sons, and my wife and I were actually babysitting for them the weekend that the tragedy happened. So we were at their home. And
how did you get informed?
Well, my sister had called us about 10:30 on Sunday night, saying that they'd be home in the morning. Their flight, I think, was expected around 5 a.m. And so she said my wife and I should just lock up the house and go to work. I had a trade show down in Des Moines, Iowa, that I had to leave for that morning. But we got in the car, and the boys didn't have school that day. So she said, just let them sleep in, and you guys, you know, just head out, and we might even be home before you get to leave, but if not, just lock the house up and go. So we did that. I got in the car and turned the car around, went down the driveway, turned the radio on, and heard about a plane crash that had happened in Reno. And, you know, it didn't strike me initially that was connected because they had spent the weekend in Lake Tahoe. And I didn't know at that time that you typically fly in and out of Reno and then drive from there up to Tahoe. But before we got too far down the road, they were giving more details that the plane had originated out of the Twin Cities Friday morning, was expected back about 5 o'clock this morning, and details about footballs found at the scene of the accident. Barb had told me Sunday night that they had gotten a couple of footballs for the boys. So anyway, you know, when we heard all those details, we turned around, and by the time we got back to the house, we were hoping and praying that they were among the survivors. There were a few survivors at that point. I think there were four or five survivors that they mentioned. They didn't name anyone, of course. But then I got back in the house and called the airport, and they told me that was the only flight scheduled to leave after 11 o'clock Sunday night. And so that pretty much clinched it.
So what does a person do at that point? You connect the accident, and you connect the time, and you connect your sister and brother-in-law.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a logical connection. But then what do? Do you sit and wait for a phone call?
Well, it was real uncomfortable because, yeah, you don't really know. You're sort of in this limbo area. I think it was on, that was Monday morning. On Tuesday, we had to round up dental records to send out there. And we didn't get official confirmation of the manifest. They don't, the airline or, you know, planes don't release the manifest of the passengers until, you know, much later. So it was until Friday before we actually had official confirmation that they were on the plane.
I know this, I can see it's a little difficult to talk about it, but it's also, you know, very interesting to see how things go and how they work. So did they have to call you or someone to come out and identify the victims?
No.
But they used dental records.
Yeah, dental records. The sheriff, I think it was, went out there with dental records from various families.
Did they indicate the gender of the ones that survived initially?
It was males, and I can't remember if they identified, you know, the sex, if they were males or females. I don't recall that. I think for some reason on the radio they said that that they were males. And one of the survivors at that time was the father of the lone survivor, who was 18. He had gone on that trip with his dad.
Wow.
And
so are you, well, you're the last of the children. Were your mom and dad living?
My mom was. Okay. My dad died in 1980.
Okay, and this happened in 85.
Yeah.
And they had three, how many children did they have?
Two
boys?
Two sons, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, how do you tell the sons?
Well, that was up to me. And, of course...
well, because you were babysitting them.
Right, we were babysitting them at the house. So I had talked to, you know, a person at the airport out in Reno, and it pretty much confirmed, you know, that they were probably on that plane, but I didn't know for sure yet.
Wow.
So when I sat down with the boys in the morning, I had to lay it out that, you know, we don't know for sure, but maybe something bad has happened, and we don't know yet. We haven't been, you know, confirmed officially.
How old were the boys at that time?
They were 8 and 13 at the time.
Okay, so they're very comprehensive.
Yeah.
And so when did they give you the go-ahead, and what did you have to do to confirm to the boys that Mom and Dad were both killed in this airplane crash?
Well, you know, when you're there all week and Mom and Dad don't come to the house, you pretty much know that something happened. And that was our only way of, you know, confirming for sure that that was the case.
Did you then arrange the funeral services?
There were a couple of memorial services, one at their church, and another one, actually three memorial services, one at their church.
In where?
That was in Mound.
Mound, okay.
Yeah. And then one out in Hector, and then one up in Elbow Lake, where my brother-in-law grew up.
I imagine the one in Hector was really full.
Yeah, they were all well attended.
How did you pick out pallbearers?
Well, at a memorial service, I don't remember that you actually have pallbearers.
Okay.
I can't recall that detail, I guess.
You had that at the funeral or... cremation, took a toll on you. But what about those boys, 13 and 8? Who takes care of them?
Well, we were named as guardians for them. That was stipulated in my brother-in-law's paperwork. So we got to raise them, and they're part of our family, and we're still in close touch, and just like, you know, sons in our family, basically.
Okay, so then, so they were much younger than Alyssa, Bethany, and Lorena?
They're actually older, actually.
Oh, they were older?
Yeah, we didn't have children of our own yet. We had been married I think we had been married 3.5 years at that point, or maybe 4 years, something
well,
like that.
Well, they had a strong aunt and uncle, and you and Becky. So did it become fun to have a couple of boys around the house?
Oh, yeah.
Ultimately?
Yeah. And they were like big brothers to the girls when the girls were born and
cool.
growing up, you know. So
yeah.
So that was fun.
And where did that, what community?
Oh, we lived in Lakeville.
Lakeville.
Yeah. Oh. So the boys graduated Lakeville and went on their ways, and they're doing well.
So after that, they turn 18, they graduate, and, you know, some people are destined to go do this or do that. And, like, for example, my buddy and I rented an apartment for the month of May.
Hmm.
And we moved in, and we graduated in the first part of June and never turned back. And nowadays, I guess it's a joke now that you got these 35-year-olds living in mom and dad's basement. So you got that wanderlust and maybe gave it to them.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking to Robin Ness here on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, a friend you can count on. And, Robin, it appears that we're not going to be able to finish your story during this particular show, because where I got you is pretty much the first year that you left Arizona State University to go off and work with three other guys and meet a lot of people and get your picture in People magazine. You know, if I just leave it at that, that sounds pretty darn good.
That was accidental, but believe
yeah.
me.
Hey, this guy's picture was in People magazine. You know, the one that had Barbara Streisand on the cover. Oh, where did we get it? Okay. What is that? Well, see the guy with the white T-shirt around his head? Yeah. Well, that's me right next to him.
About the size of a head of a pin, you know.
Yeah. Final break on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Another song on the Wayne Eddy Affair from my guest Robin Ness right after this message.
Northfield Construction Company has provided quality general contracting services to the Northfield community for over 45 years. Our experienced and diverse team can handle projects from the smallest home remodel to a large-scale commercial project. Whatever your construction need, Northfield Construction will deliver. Call us today about your next project, 507-645-8975.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
You'll totally fall in love the moment you taste Subway's 6-inch pulled pork crunch sandwich for just $2.99. Made with tender pulled pork and topped with spicy chipotle sauce and chili cheese Fritos. It's the perfect combination of smoky, spicy, and crunch. But hurry, it's only here for a limited time at participating restaurants. The memories, however, will last a lot longer. Subway, so much sandwich. Additional charge for extras, plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
We're back live and in color on the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station, KYMN. Name this tune.
That's the Way I Like It by Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Well, I got to tell you, you're... Oh, you're right. Was that your type of music in 75? Your senior in high school?
You know, it was okay. The big thing to do back in high school was to have Back to the 50s dances.
My music.
Yeah. And I thought that was just ancient.
Yeah.
I just felt like, man, that's 15, 20 years ago. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And, of course, now, looking back at it, that's a drop in the bucket in terms of the time involved.
Let me see if I can do another one here that you can figure out. Here it comes. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right.
David Bowie.
Yeah. Isn't that funny how you know that before anything? You know it on the hook. Okay, you got David Bowie and the name of the song.
Fame.
That's right. All right, we're going to... you don't mind if I test you on these three?
Yeah, I think that was co-written with John Lennon, if I remember right.
All right, let's see if... I don't particularly like this next song that I'm going to play, but I guess some people do, because it was the top 10. Well, I guess I do like it.
Elton John.
Yeah. Name that tune.
Philadelphia Freedom.
Okay. Okay, got a feeling you're going to know this next song. Are you ready?
Sure. Neil Sedaka.
Yes.
Bad Blood.
You got it. Oh, man. I'll do one more, all right?
It could have been me.
One more.
But it was you.
This is one that you probably, I don't know if you like this one. Mouthing the words, you know the name. Who's singing it?
I'm trying to.
It'll dawn.
I want to say somebody like Paul Anka, but that isn't right.
It'll dawn on you.
Dawn, Tony Orlando.
You got it. Way to go.
Thanks for the hint.
Yeah. It's 13 minutes before 11 o'clock as we are broadcasting from our studios in downtown Northfield. I have a music director for live music for my show, and we shook hands on that yesterday, John Hiscox and I, and boom, today I've got a guest already, Robin Ness from Northfield, Minnesota. Robin, I'd like another song, and perhaps you can allow that.
All right, I think we can do that. I've never done this, so
what
this
is
new to me, too.
Can
this
you
is a Tom Petty song.
Tom Petty?
Yeah, Into the Great Wide Open.
Okay. You're on.
We'll see if I can pull it off.
All right.
Eddie waited till he finished high school. He went to Hollywood, got a tattoo. He met a girl out there with a tattoo, too. The future was wide open. They moved into a place they both could afford. He found a nightclub he could work at the door. She had a guitar and she taught him some chords. The sky was the limit. Into the great wide open, under the skies of blue, out in the great wide open, a rebel without a clue. The paper said always played from the heart. He got an agent and a roadie named Bart. They made a record and it went in the charts. The sky was the limit. His leather jacket had chains that would jingle. They both met movie stars and partied and mingled. Their A&R men said, I don't hear a single. The future was wide open. Into the great wide open, under the skies of blue, out in the great wide open, a rebel without a clue. Into the great wide open, under the skies of blue,
into the great wide open. A rebel without a clue.
Tom Petty, ladies and gentlemen, live and in color from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota. You know, I'm listening to that song, and I'm not real knowledgeable about Tom Petty. My question is, what was the name of that song?
Into the Great Wide Open.
Okay, because it could have been about three different ones there.
Yeah.
But you say you never did that before.
Nope.
What is that? You never did it on stage, or you never did it at home?
Never performed it.
Ever?
So I probably ran through it a couple times at home.
Okay, but yeah, right here on KYMS Live, did it for your, and it sounded wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's enjoyable.
Thanks.
I know that when I had John ask you, John Hiscox, if you would be a guest and to bring your guitar, and I appreciate you did do that, because I think it's great to have live music on radio again.
Yeah.
It's 8 minutes before 11 o'clock. One more song from the top 10,
okay.
All right? And
yeah.
You've been doing very well on this, very well. Music from 1975, and that's, of course, the year he graduated from Hector High School, where he warmed the bench on the football for the football team and got a secondhand bicycle as a young boy. David Bowie in Fame was 10. Bee Gees, Jive Talkin', was 9, and he got all of these. 8th was KC and the Sunshine Band. Philadelphia Freedom, 7th, by Elton John, you got that. Glenn Campbell, one of the best songs ever, Like a Rhinestone Cowboy, number 6. Neil Sedaka and Bad Blood, number 5. Tony Orlando and Dawn, He Don't Love You. And number 2, Silver Connection with Fly, Robin Fly, and Robin is my guest. Number 1, Captain Antoniel, Love Will Keep Us Together, written by
Neil Sedaka.
Okay, and here's the only one we haven't played, and we'll see how soon you can catch this one. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, here we go on KYMN Radio.
Island Girl by Elton John.
You know your music.
A little bit.
Yeah. So when you're playing to a crowd here in Northfield, Minnesota, do you have people that will shout out, play something from the 50s, play something from the 60s?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
You just do your thing? And,
yeah, we do. We go by set lists, of course, so we don't waste a lot of time, hopefully.
But do you take requests?
Occasionally, and the hard thing about that is you never know what key you're going to do it in. You don't necessarily know the chord progression on certain songs. You may not know the lyrics. So kind of a hard thing to try to pull out of.
But if you do know it.
Tricks. Like if you know it, yeah, we'd do one. You know.
Like if I came up and asked you to play that song you just got done playing, would you be able to do that? Or would you say, hey, my buddies don't know what chord?
Well, they haven't played it with me either, of course. So,
So you have to rehearse.
Yeah, that's the best if you want to sound okay.
Well, we're at 5 minutes before 11 o'clock here on KYMN. And my guest this morning, Robin Ness, not related to the city council person, Brad Ness, or his brother Dean. And he's a Norwegian. Don't tell me. Norwegian, Swedish, don't tell me. German and English? I'm trying.
Danish.
Danish. Oh, yeah. Okay. Danish. I enjoy those very much. You ever had one?
Yeah.
Okay. So we kind of get to the point in your life where you're choosing music over any other career. You got married at 23 to Becky.
Right.
And where did you – well, Becky was your high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you continue traveling at age 23 and the wives came along with?
Well, I was playing music at the time in Hector. We lived in Hector. My dad had passed away 6 weeks before we got married.
Wow.
Did you
know it was coming, or was it?
Well, sudden? he had been battling cancer for about 10 months.
Oh, okay.
And so we went through all that with him, and And so he passed away. We got married. I went back out to the farm, continued playing in a band, and ran the pig business. And after a year and a half of that, I wanted to get into advertising, which is what I had my degree in. I went to the school at University of Minnesota to get my degree. I finished up after my year-long sabbatical playing music full-time and got the degree at the U of M. And
when you were going to the U of M and you were going to classes that taught how to advertise, market, et cetera, and all that, I remember when the colleges didn't have anything on broadcasting. A lot of liberal arts colleges, they were, it's all paper and it's all color and it's all magazine and newspapers. And
yeah.
And then now they have classes in broadcasting, and I think that's wonderful. But
it is.
I've been around this town for 50 years, which went by really quickly. What were they doing back in 1980, 81, when you went back to U? Were they ignoring the electronic media?
You know, I think they had a campus radio station.
Yeah, KUOM, I think it is.
Yeah, I think that's right. And so that was happening, so I'm sure there was a broadcast element to what they were doing. I was more on the print side of things. They had, you know, what they called a phototypositor, which was a, when you do ad layout, you could type on this phototypositor and it would print out on this long tape whatever you had typed out. And then you'd rip that off and paste it on a layout board, you know. It was very hands-on, very primitive, in my opinion, compared to today with computers. We didn't have those. We still used punch cards in computer science classes at that time. But it was very kind of odd and unusual. They never really, I think they were sort of preparing everybody. If you were in a journalism track, yeah, then you would go down that route as a reporter primarily. Is what the training was there. Advertising, they were kind of preparing you for ad agency work, designing ads, copywriting, those kinds of things, media planners, media buyers, all those things.
Mad men.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it was very interesting to do that. And what they didn't talk at all about that I'm aware of was advertising, sales, and marketing. And lo and behold, that's what I ended up doing once I left the farm. I got into a place called the Miller Publishing Company in Minneapolis. It was an old, venerable publishing house. And it was owned at that time by ABC, American Broadcasting Company.
Really?
Yeah. So that was a big deal. And one of my friends from college was working there as a sales promotion manager, and she was high on the company, and I landed a job there.
That's a good place to pick up next time we get together. if you'll remember, I'll write it down. By the way, I've said this many times, nothing happens until something is sold.
Yeah.
Period.
Right.
The earphones you're wearing, the chain that you're wearing, the shirt, the microphone, the coffee cups here. Somebody had to sell somebody that item.
That's right.
So it's a wonderful industry.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know what you have to do? You have to be able to
ask for the order.
Yes. And number two, you have to be able to survive when they say no.
Right. Go on to the next one.
Yeah, because
and come back to the first one.
Heck of a
twice,
deal.
Maybe three times or four times.
I know a lot of people that went out in sales and they couldn't take the rejection.
Yeah.
You know, they just say, gee, I called on 10 people and every one of them said, no, come back or something. But once you hit that one that realizes the product that you're selling is beneficial for them, you get on a high.
Yeah.
I'll bet you made a sale sometimes where you were just floating down the street.
Oh, yeah. There was quite a few fun sales, and some of the big projects were the most fun. When I was in the magazine publishing business.
It's 11 o'clock. That's where we can pick up. Are you okay with that?
Keep everybody in suspense.
Yes. Okay, we're going to pick up at Miller Advertising, did you say? Or
the Miller Publishing Company.
Miller Publishing. Okay, we'll pick up at Miller Publishing next time you're able to come and join me on the air. By the way, we are recording this, and we'll be putting it on our website, and you can download it for your own use or anybody.
Nice.
And we're streaming. I didn't mention that at first, but we do stream. You know what that means?
Sure.
Okay.
Cool.
So somebody in China could listen if they wanted to. So that's the story so far of Robin Ness, who lives right here in Northfield with his wife, Becky. I suppose Alyssa and Bethany and Lorena are all here or gone?
Bethany lives out in Washington State, and Lorena is in town with her husband.
Good.
And Alyssa is in the area as well.
Good. Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah, it's nice.
May I say thank you very much?
Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate you inviting me in.
I enjoyed it. Robin Ness on KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota. And we're going to switch into different programming now and hope that you take a ride with us. Don't forget, all the news at noon.
Hey, howdy, hey. Jessica Paxton with you, host of All Wheel Drive, weekdays from 3 until 7 p.m. right here on 95.1 The One.
Checking my feet, I'm not naked. Checking my feet, I'm naked.